Hello, welcome to Omoluabi Podcast, where African proverbs meet biblical wisdom. I am Anu.
And I am Joseph. You're welcome.
Today's episode is about making Jesus your source. The proverb will be read out by Joseph, so over to you.
Okay, so today's proverb is actually quite popular. It says, "Bie biba kuro ninu ise, ise buse." Bie biba kuro ninu ise, ise buse. And the literal meaning of that is that if hunger is taken away from poverty, in other words, if someone's poverty is less hunger, then that poverty has come to an end. Or to put it in another words, is to say that whoever still has something to eat is actually not poor. Poverty is relative. Yes. And as long as you have food that sustains you to live to see another day, then you are not exactly poor, because there is hope for wealth maybe tomorrow. So that's like the literal meaning. But what does that say to you?
Yeah, the second part was what
resonates with you.
Yes, what resonated with me. I understood from the proverb that poverty is a is kind of situational. It's almost as though wanting to solve a thing that you're not able to solve because you didn't have the resources to do so. So you're able to overcome it even if it's very tough. But where hunger sets in, hunger is kind of life-threatening, so the provision of food, it will be much costlier than trying to find resources to solve a problem. So the I think the proverb is trying to say that on a balance, poverty doesn't weigh much, but hunger weighs more if you don't eat. Even if you're rich and you don't eat, you feel you feel the necessity, because it's life. It's the core to our life. So that's what I got from that. And what's the biblical application?
No, before I go to that, I'm just remembering a riddle that I've read somewhere that it says, "I am something. The poor people have me, the rich people lack me, but if you eat me, you will die. What am I?"
I should know, but I don't know now.
Okay, so look at that. Look at what I'm saying in light of this proverb. I'm something. The poor people have me, the rich people lack me, but if you eat me, you will die.
Nothing?
Yeah. So the assumption on the in the proverb is to say, I mean in that riddle rather, is to say that the poor people have nothing, the rich people lack nothing, but if you eat nothing, you will die. And the emphasis being on that last part, to give some weight to the place of feeding ourselves. That indeed food is life. You need food to continue to live. If you fast, then you look forward to breaking your fast, because you can't continue to live fasted life forever. There is just so much abstinence from food and water that the body can take. That takes me to the spiritual aspect of it. I mean, literally, this proverb is used very many times to help people see their situation, like you said, in perspective. To say, when people are complaining or trying to saying, "I don't have this, I don't have that," someone can always mention a proverb like this to bring them to the perspective to see that actually you're not as poor as you think. At least you're still feeding, even if that's 100 or 010 or 001. And if that doesn't make sense to you, that means God bless you. you've not walked in the corridors of poverty. But for some of us, in the uni I attended for my undergrad, we grade ourselves in terms of how many food you're able to eat in the day. So if you have your breakfast, lunch and dinner, then you had 111. But if you skipped on any of them, then it becomes zero. So some people will go for 011. In other words, they skipped on breakfast, they had lunch and dinner. But some people can only afford just one. So it has to be either the breakfast or the lunch or the dinner, hence all the quotes. But yeah. Anyways, spiritually speaking, I think Jesus also share this kind of wisdom, the wisdom that has to do with the importance of food to our sustenance in life, especially in his discourse that John records in John chapter 6. Specifically in verse 35, Jesus said, let me read from the New King James Version first, and then maybe a couple other translations. From the New King James Version, it says, "And Jesus said to them, I am the bread of life. He who comes to me shall never hunger, and he who believes in me shall never thirst." I like the Passion Translation of that. It says, Jesus said to them, I am the bread of life. Come every day to me, and you will never be hungry. Believe in me, and you will never be thirsty. And of course, when you begin to hear the word bread, and I think virtually all English translations that I've seen use the word bread of life in that verse, when that verse was translated to Yoruba, it becomes, I am the food of life. Emini Ounjeye. And in the point I'm trying to bring out from that is to say, bread there can be contextual, in that sense. Bread is food in some culture. That's what symbolizes what food is. I believe that if I want to actually translate this verse as an Ijesha man, I would quote Jesus as saying, I am the pounded yam of life. Emini inyoye. Because for the Ijeshas, food... their main food is pounded yam. But anyways, the point not even being about the bread or the pounded yam, it's about the fact that Jesus is saying it can be food to us. It can be food to you. He wants us to feast and feed on him, as though to say, as long as you can, every single day, which is the part that I like in the Passion Translation, come every day to partake of this food, and then you will discover that actually you're not poor because you have what you need. Psalm 23, the Lord is my shepherd, I lack nothing. Not because David had everything when he wrote that, he was just a shepherd boy, but in spite of being a shepherd boy and perhaps the forgotten one in the family, the ignored one, the little one, the easy to dispose one in that sense, yet he knew that just having fellowship, koinonia, access to the chief shepherd of his soul, that ability to commune with him, to converse with him with music, with poetry, with words, as he tends the sheep, is priceless above all else. And he believes, even as an Old Testament saint in that sense, I mean, Jesus had not come, our salvation was not yet exactly purchased in the sense that we now know it in the new covenant, but yet he understood as far back as that time that if you have God on your side for you as your shepherd, then you lack nothing, because whatever you need as the sheep is going to make it available.
Yes.
And that's the offer that Jesus is also giving here in this scripture. Just come every day, partake of this food, partake of this bread, partake of this pounded yam, partake of this spaghetti, whatever food that looks like in your context, and just come and feast on him, and you will never be hungry. I think that's an audacious claim. You will never be hungry, and you will never be thirsty if indeed you are feasting and feeding on him. You are not poor because you have food, the kind of food that truly sustains.
That's true.
Any other thoughts or concluding thoughts from you?
What I thought to add, in addition to what you said, thank you for that.
Yeah.
What it means to not never be hungry or never be thirsty is that the ideas you need to make things work, to change your situation, it's Jesus that would provide those things. So him,
that's deep.
Him being there first, you kind of eating him, when it goes inside of you and saturates all of you, all of your insides, what comes out of you becomes golden. You stand out, you become less, people see you, see less of what you have, but who you are. Your words become wealth, so to say. So it's him who can turn things around.
Absolutely.
So it just alludes to the fact that's why he made that audacious claim, because he's God. He's sure of his own power, and he's saying that you just eat me and see what I'll do.
Yeah,
Test me and see what I'll do. So, so let's just go out fully this week to just proclaim God's power on us. Just live. Just take the risk in God, because you know that He's got your back and He's in you. You've eaten Him. Like whatever we eat or drinks kind of forms part of our system. So there's no way you can be torn out of you again. So thank you very much.
And in case you're asking yourself, so how do I feast on Him? How do I actually eat this bread? One, partake of the Holy Communion. And that can be in a corporate setting, in church. That can be with your family at home. Do that as often as you can. And secondly, He is the Word. So study God's Word. And studying His Word and believing what you're reading and taking it for His Word, taking it authoritatively, delivers to you something that is anti-hunger and anti-thirst. You become satisfied because what you need per time, you have what it takes to deliver it, resident in you. To the praise and glory of His name.
Amen.
So thank you very much, the Omolua Bees that have been listening and following and engaging with this podcast. We hope this episode also inspires and helps you. Can you remember the proverb that, can you say it in Yoruba?
Bi ebi ba kuro ninu ise, ise buse.
So simple, so short. Bi ebi ba kuro ninu ise. Ishebushi. We'll see you in the next episode. God bless you. Have a wonderful, wonderful week. And remember, remain an
Omoluabi.
God bless you. Bye.